Kelly's Westport Inn presents The Royalman Report with Casey Royalman.
He's an important member of the sports atmosphere in Kansas City.
Michael Engel.
We actually
said
for an interview that we consider Michael Engel to be our
Scott Jeff
Herr. Kansas City's a baseball town. Is the producer of The Royalman Report.
Music by 49 Stones and Andre and the Giants. And now, The Royalman Report.
It's just this group of Royals fans, like three or four of them, and they are kind of clinically insane.
Let's try that one more time. Hey, good afternoon, Sunday afternoon. Welcome to the Royalman Report. My name is Chris Kamler, and I think about the 15th time we're going to get this correct.
With me this afternoon, I believe,
on the Google Hangout, the fancy technology called Google Hangouts, is Michael Engel, the Chief Operating Officer of KingsOfKaufman.com, and Troy Olson. And Michael Engel, who has been typing furiously on something for KingsOfKaufman.com. How are you, Mike?
I'm all right.
Well, Mike, I guess we kind of made it. We brought Chris on board, and all of a sudden we get a radio show. So I guess that's how this works.
Which is kind of ironic, considering that it's, you know, Chris. For a second there,
I'm the least radio safe guy there.
He says with a mouthful of food.
Sorry, I'm eating dinner.
But that did teach us of one taboo, which is don't open a soda on the air.
So, you know, we have microphones, of course, that we do the show with at Chris's, but they're not as sensitive as microphones you would find in a studio, apparently, because I popped a can of pop open, and I thought that producer was going to throw me out of the studio.
That thing echoed to Seattle, I believe, is where it went. So, no, but it was great. If you didn't hear the show going back, we've got it archived on it should be on Stitcher Radio, should be on iTunes. Got it on Kings of Kaufman. There's a new link for the Kansas City Baseball Vault at the top, which should have everything available. What are you doing?
I'm answering questions visually through the live stream.
Okay. Anyway.
And that's why I'm taking you on.
It was a good show. I mean, we talked to Mike Hershberger, who is not very well known, but he had interesting stories about his time with Kansas City A's and being a teammate of Reggie Jackson and others. And we talked to Clint Robinson, which was very cool. Clint's always kind of a good guy to talk to. I know Troy's talked to him twice now, so it was good to hear some insight from him about how their season's going in Omaha, plus other players that are up in Kansas City now and who may be up there later on.
I couldn't agree more. I spent the weekend in Northwest Arkansas, and you really get a feel for what is there yet to come. I saw Jake Odorizzi pitch. I saw Will Myers and Christian Colon play. Christian Colon, the first night I was there, went 3-for-3 with a stolen base. He made three outstanding plays, and it was pretty cool to watch all of that.
Yeah, Colon's having a great year so far.
And you know, we all love Colon on this show because he was, of course, our very first guest. So, but yes, Kev, we got another vault coming up this Thursday, and I don't remember who the old timer guest is off the top of my head, but we have Kevin Goldstein coming on for the then and now. So I think Kevin's always really good. We've had him on here once before, and he's fantastic. So.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. Anytime we get to talk to Kevin Goldstein, I mean, we're going to take it. The other guest that we're going to be talking to is, I've forgotten like three times.
It's I want to say Doc Edwards, but I don't
that's
think
it, that's it. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, Doc Edwards, who is managing like in an independent game. Yeah, he's actually going to call us during our show from the dugout live. So that should be pretty cool.
It'd be kind of like on ESPN when they're talking to him, and hopefully he doesn't get thrown out or anything or have any problems like that, which is prone to happen to some people.
Yeah, we wouldn't want anybody to get ejected. That might end up on YouTube.
Right.
Yeah, well, but we'll save that for later. Chris went down to Arkansas and he created all sorts of chaos, as Chris does oh so well.
As he usually does, yeah. Usually that's what happens. Travel follows Chris, which I don't know why we hang out with him.
We're going to talk more about what's going on with the current Royals with Danny Duffy's performance today, and in doing so, Luis Mendoza's performance today, what's also been going on with the Royals in the last week. But we're going to try not to cross over too much between the shows. Like, if we talked about something on the Vault, then we might make reference to it, but you have the ability to go and download those shows on the Royal Man Report, so definitely check those out. But we're going to try to keep the shows kind of separate. So this show should be just about an hour. We're going to talk about what's currently going on with the Royals. Then we're going to talk about Chris's experiences down in Arkansas, and we'll wrap it up with, hopefully by then, Jeff will be here. He's supposed to get here a little bit later. Jeff Herr, of course. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the Chiefs draft and upcoming shows. But I think, Chris, if you're ready, let's go ahead and go out to our first break. Yeah, and then we'll come back with some current information.
All right. Before my show, too sexy for my
shirt, so sexy. Hey, it's Ben for Kelly's Westport Inn. Do high gas prices got you down? Well, don't worry about it. Hop on the bus to Kelly's Westport Inn and save some jingle jangle as you drink until you're blingle blangle. Kelly's has the best open-air roof in town, with beer and drink prices that are cheaper than at the pump. That's for sure! There's plenty of TVs to watch the soccer and the football games this summer. Plus, there's someone for everyone, and you can find him or her at Kelly's! Hearts and smoochies! So check out Kelly's Westport Inn, and you'll have more change to fill up your range, Rover. This has been Ben, Kelly's Westport Ben, saying smell you laters.
Hey, Troy, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to grab a beer somewhere. What do you have in mind?
I heard about this awesome new bar downtown. It's called Rage. The waitresses have a contest to see who has the most piercing.
Oh, man, that's not really my scene.
Well, there's another bar close by called Spit Cup. Check it out. The bartenders wear chaps, and every hour they shoot a guy.
No, seriously, I just want a bar where I can sit down and watch the game.
Okay, I've got just the place. It's called Lilac. You sit on pillows, and you drink from eucalyptus leaves.
No, Ned, but I just want a place where I can get a cheap drink and watch the football game.
Okay, I got it. This place, it's got a TV. It's called 816.
Limitosis.
All their drinks come in NBA hats.
Man, I just want a place like Kelly's.
Oh, you mean Kelly's Westport Inn? No, they've got all the basketball and bowl games. They've even got a heated roof. The view is really nice, too, if you know what I'm saying. Why didn't you just say you wanted to go to Kelly's?
Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road. Make it your place to go any time of the week. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
Welcome back to the Royal Man Report. I am eating some dinner, and we are having all crap loads of technical problems tonight. But you know what? The show must go on. We didn't have a show last week, and that was partly my fault as well. I'm detecting a pattern, I think. There's something along those lines. Let me turn this crappy music off, and let me bring the boys in one more time. We got Troy Olson. We have Michael Engel. Hello, fellas.
What up?
Doing well.
All right, what do we got for this second segment, since I'm literally, I don't have enough hands to figure out where all the buttons are on this deal.
That's right. So Danny Duffy was supposed to start today. Let's start today, and we'll work our way back through the week. Danny Duffy was supposed to start today. He came out, pitched about five batters, I think. No, it wasn't even that many. He pitched
I think it was three.
He got two-thirds of an inning in, yeah. And he had some pain in his elbow, they're saying, and he left. And Luis Mendoza came in and pitched a darn good game, something like six-plus innings, and got the win today as the Royals went on to win 9-1. But the important part of that, of course, is that Danny Duffy is hurt. Of course, anytime you see an elbow, it leads you to believe mm-hmm. that it could be something that might start with a T and a J.
Mm-hmm. Anytime there's an elbow of any kind, it's a little scary because that's a, kind of a red flag area for any pitcher. I've heard differing things from what I've seen on Twitter is that he felt something in his forearm, but sometimes that can be from his
elbow. So I don't know. They're going to send him to Kansas City to get an MRI. I think the results will be available tomorrow. He's already missed one start through the rotation because of an elbow thing. So, you know, I think hopefully if there's nothing torn and nothing really out of whack inside the elbow, I think he needs a DL stint. Just long term, it's going to be better for him than trying to pitch through it. Anytime he's going to try to throw, regardless, you know, he could aggravate it, he could tear something, he could overdo it. And, you know, that's, I'd much rather lose him for 1 month than 14 months, especially considering where the Royals are as far as starting pitching. I mean, they're struggling, and they've had so many injuries already that you don't need another one, too, one who is arguably the most talented pitcher on the staff.
Yeah, and you know, we've had so many injuries this year, and the one thing that we talked about in the offseason was that the Royals had to have pretty much a flawless year to make the playoffs, and with the injuries and the 12-game losing streak, it's really hurting their chances. But, I mean, the sad thing is for the division – well, the good thing, but the amazing thing because of how bad the division is they're still right in it, so it's hard to say where they're going to be at. They picked up a game on the White Sox, and they're not done yet. And, you know, like I said on the vault, I said on the vault they could still win 90 games on the pace they're going if they keep winning series. But I think they'll slide at some point. They just don't have the pitching for it. And if they lose Duffy, that was one of their best shots at having pitching, and it just doesn't look like it's going to happen. Well, Mike, let me give you a let's steal something here from the Fantasy Focus guys, and let's play a little name game with potential starters for the Royals here. You pretty much have Vin Mizero, mm-hmm. Everett Tieford, Nate Adcock, Sean O'Sullivan, and Mike Montgomery. Those are your five choices for starters coming up. Outside of course, you're going to have to stay with Hochaver. You're probably going to stay with Luis Mendoza. You're going to stay with Bruce Chen. Mm-hmm. And who's our other starter?
Sanchez is on the DL.
Yeah, so you have two open spots right now. So figuring that Duffy goes on the DL. So who do you have start now?
You know, I think a lot of people would want to go with Montgomery, but he still really hasn't gotten it together completely in Omaha. I think he's throwing better, and there's some good YouTube video from Clint Scholes where he kind of looks at a couple of different adjustments that Montgomery has made mechanically that can it's kind of helped him a little bit because he is throwing better this year than he was last year. But if I have to pick two of those, you know, I like Nate Adcock and Everett Tieford. It's probably Mizarro being up now is probably going to be one of those guys. Mendoza could end up getting a couple of starts again as well, which, you know, I'm not a big fan, but he came through today. So
yeah, he seemed to be doing okay today. From what
I
saw.
It just seems like for his kind of pitching, if he's got his control, if he's not walking people, and he's getting people to, you know, get soft contact, he's going to be fine. But the problem is, you know, he's a lot like Bruce Chen. If he doesn't have it, it's going to be apparent early, and he's going to get chased right away. So he doesn't have the kind of stuff that's going to overpower someone to where he can strike out, you know, nine guys just like that, you know, like Paulino or Duffy could, or even Sanchez. So if he's getting hit and people are putting the ball in play, it's more like he's going to give up hits. And if he's not walking people, that's okay. But if he is walking people, that could be a problem. So, you know, I think Mendoza and Mizarro probably have a leg up just because they're already up. They don't have to make another move. But I think Adcock is a guy that they want to have pitch every fifth day. And I think he's somebody who has shown last year and this year that if he has to go out there, he can definitely carry that position. So, and Tieford is another guy who I've always really liked. Montgomery, I don't think it's quite there yet. Probably the All-Star break is when I think we'll see him.
People are saying Tuesday is Montgomery's normal starting day. It'd be right on pace for where he's been with the Omaha rotation. So they could bring him up. But the last place you want to start a young pitcher who's been having trouble is in that boombox known as Arlington.
Right. And he's somebody
Texas
who's...
Stadium or Rangers Stadium, what do they call it?
Yeah, Texas, the jet stream at Arlington, whatever. Yeah, and I think especially with like the way Josh Hamilton is playing, you know, he's liable to go off for three or four homers any night. He's just out of his mind right now. So I think bringing in someone like Montgomery, who's, you know, had some shaken confidence probably in the last year and a half,
maybe that's not the best situation that you want to bring them up in. Maybe next time they come home, if they need to make a move. They would also have to do a move for the 40-man roster to get him to Kansas City as well, whereas all the other guys are already on the 40-man. So that's another kind of obstacle for him. Now, once everybody's healthy, yeah, then you get to a point where, okay, you can maybe make some moves. But right now they need that depth. So I think he's still got a month or so until we see him, maybe tomorrow night.
Do you think Odorizzi is in any way ready to come up?
No. I mean, I think he's definitely ready for AAA. I don't think he's going to be ready for the majors yet. I want to see, at the very least, 5 starts from him in AAA before we start getting to that. I know a lot of times pitchers can make that jump, but for someone like him, you know, he did get hit pretty hard last year, but he made the jump to AA. So it may be a kind of a Mike Moustakas kind of thing where, you know, he struggles at first and has to adjust. I think he's going to be fine. I think right now he's probably our top pitching prospect because he's been lights out a lot of the times, striking out people. His control's been pretty good. So, you know, compared to where Montgomery is, yeah, I think he's probably offering the most upside right now that's close to the major leagues. Jason Adams is another guy, but he's way far away from the majors. He's probably 2 years away at least. So it's kind of tough. There's not a lot of great pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, we're short on arms for sure.
Yeah.
To be real, if this team is going to compete next year, I said it on Twitter today that they're going to have to bust open the checkbook next year because you're going to need 2, maybe 3. And, you know, Brett was quoted on 610 as saying that Greinke never did sell his condo in the Plaza.
Yeah, I heard that.
Maybe he has some – well, if you didn't, all you got to do is turn on 610 and wait for one commercial break and you'll hear it. He didn't sell his condo in the Plaza. And so does that mean that he's interested in coming back to Kansas City? You know, we know Greinke's a weird bird, and he just wanted to be on a team that was competitive. Royals weren't competitive when he left. Actually, that trade was good for us because it got a shortstop Jesus. But if he would come back now next year, yeah, and if he came back next year, and Kane, I mean, they got a lot out of that trade. I was just going with the one player that everybody talks about.
Sure.
But if he comes back next year, I mean, we really win the trade then because we get all 5 players, all 6 players involved.
We would have everybody.
Yeah, it would be on this team now. So it would be interesting. I know some people in the chat room are talking about SOS and Mazzaro makes them want to vomit. And I said, a while back, Mazzaro was doing really good in Omaha. And I said, watch out. The better that Mazzaro does in Omaha, the more likely he's going to be to get called up. And then he gets called up earlier this week. And I said, now you watch. He's going to start. It's only a matter of time. He's going to start, and he's going to start on Tuesday. I bet money on it. So it's disgusting.
I wouldn't be surprised, especially, you know, they only have a couple days to get things in line. You know, they don't want to jumble everything throughout the organization. He's the easy guy to throw in there, especially, you know, Mendoza's already thrown 5.2 innings today. Yeah, you're right. It's probably going to be Mazzaro unless they, you know, decide to make another move and bring Adcock. I mean, they've already worn out the tires on that bus to Omaha. They've gone back and forth, you know, repeatedly. So
hey, and don't forget our buddy Will in the chat room. He's pretty excited about Jeff Francis coming back too. So I mean,
yeah,
that's
a big
Jeff
Francis back here in a bad way.
I haven't even seen his stats, so I can't. Maybe he's doing well. Isn't he with the Reds?
No, he's in AAA.
But he signed with a minor league deal with the Reds, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But, you know, our friend of the program, Nate Buchady, did say that he expected the Royals to use the bus from Omaha to Kansas City in a big way this year, and they sure have. And, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, a lot of people are talking about, well, if Duffy goes on the DL, don't we have the pieces up here to keep going with this team? And maybe Clint Robinson gets a shot. You know, Clint was on the vault last Thursday, but he's not going to get the call up. They're going to
It's going to be a Turcher. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be another pitcher. The next thing that's going to happen is, you know, Betancourt will probably come off the DL, and probably Irving Fellu will go back down. And beyond that, I don't see a lot of real changes.
I mean, honestly, based on production, Irving should stay up and Gio should go down.
Yeah, there's that too.
Because Irving Fellu is more valuable in that he can be a fourth outfielder, or a fifth outfielder, I guess, for this team. Well, it depends.
The outfielder.
if they move Mitch Meyer into the bullpen, then he could be a fourth outfielder. But other than that, so.
No, I mean, you're right. He plays a lot more positions. Gio plays second base, and other than, you know, that double today was his first hit of the year. Now, he's hit the ball well, but, you know.
So has Hosmer.
Right. So, you know? I mean, that's a whole other, you know, you hit it right at somebody, it still goes down as an out. So it's one of those unfortunate things.
So, Mike, what else has gone on this week? Anything you want to touch on the major league level?
Big league level, I mean, Moustakas has been fighting a hamstring thing. Hopefully he got a couple days off. That'll help out. Because if he starts, you know, if he has to go on the DL, then I don't know. It's just, who hasn't been hurt this year? I mean, amazingly, Hosmer and Butler and Gordon haven't been hurt. You know, they're probably
knock next. On wood.
I'd be watching my back. Oh, Jeff Francoeur finally hit his first home run today, too. So it just took a pink bat for him to hit that homer. That was the secret all along.
I hope he uses that bat that he hit the home run with until he breaks it. Because, you know, they're superstitious, so why not? Just take that bat with you, and Francoeur using that pink bat every game I think would be freaking awesome.
You don't think there's any truth to the rumor that Francoeur was going to wrap a $100 bill around it and then throw it, fling it into the stands?
You know, that is cool that Francoeur did that whole thing with the Bacon Tuesday thing, and that was out in Oakland, right?
Yeah.
That sounds like a perfect place for Jeff Francoeur to get traded to.
Sure,
I love me some Jeff Francoeur, but I think I've really seen enough this year, and I thought maybe he was going to make a comeback and what have you. And, you know, we're fans, or at least me, I'm a fan of Francoeur, you know, and a lot of our listeners are fans of Francoeur, but I think that boat has pretty well sailed at this point.
Personally, yeah, he's a great guy, but, man, he's not hitting this year. So that's what you got to do. He's actually walking more, which is strange. I was trying to kind of take a look at some stuff to see what he's doing, and I don't know. The general idea is I think he's swinging at less pitches in the zone, but he's making more contact on the ones that he does swing at that are outside the zone. So, and he's grounding out like 30% of the time, which is just a crazy rate for him when he does put it into play. So it's a ground out 30% of the time.
That's a lot.
More accurately. That's a lot. I mean, every third time he comes up and it's a ground out. I mean, that's not.
Now, here's the question. You know, Will's bringing up the opportunity to trade Francoeur. Who's going to tell JP? Who's going to tell little Frenchie 21? It's not going to be me.
I'm not doing that.
Who's going to tell the marketing department that they have to pull down all the French Quarter BS?
If they could do that for Manny Wood, or, you know, Manny Ramirez, if they can do that for Manny Wood, I think they could do it for the French Quarter.
Maybe. I mean, they still had Tony Pena Jr. bobblehead night, and I think Gil Mesh is still in the stadium club, so you never know. I don't know. I think we'll let David Holtzman tell JP about that one. So.
That would be the way.
They should have the same Fox 4 crew go over to his house.
Right. JP, can we get a statement?
All dressed in black. Well, they followed that kid around on opening day. They had him mic'd. You know that? Fox 4 had JP mic'd on opening day, and he went out and did the play ball thing, and the Great Clips play ball thing or whatever. He got to do that. And yeah, he was mic'd the whole thing, and they ran another special on him, so.
Troy's not jealous. Jealous
we're
much?
We're getting lapped.
Oh, no, we're getting lapped hardcore, and I don't, yeah. I mean, good for him. That kid deserves it. He's a good kid. So, let's see. Oh, one last thing on this segment, and then we're going to talk more about this in the third segment, because the third segment is going to be a big AA segment, because Chris went down to Arkansas, and everywhere Chris goes, trouble follows.
You know, anytime you start a sentence with Kamler went down to Arkansas, there's going to be hilarity Will and Stu.
Right. So, NWA started, Northwest Arkansas started Will Myers at third base today, and general manager Dayton Moore says he wants him to be, quote, ready for anything. So, of course, we're trading Moose. I mean, that's just got to be it, right? We're trading Moose
for a pitcher. Of course. It's the same thing when Giovitella was coming up. Of course we were trading Chris Getz. Of course. No, I don't. I think I don't know. I mean, it never hurts to see what somebody can do in a different position. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if he's starting at third still tomorrow or a week from now.
Well, he didn't have a very good day. Well, I don't know offensively, but I know Arkansas had a bad day today in general with the rain and an umpire that did not want the grounds crew to to lay the tarp. And if you don't follow Eric Edelstein on Twitter, you should. He's Eric Baseball. He's the general manager of the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. And he goes, I asked him, the umpire told the grounds crew to not call the game. He goes, yeah. He goes, now we got to do something to drain the field, and then we have to put down some whatever they call their turf. And I said, oh, that, I bet that makes you just over. I said, that makes you happy, doesn't it? And he goes, something like that. Because double-A teams don't have that much money. And, you know, yeah, they get some money from the big league club, but it's not like you would think. And so that's a lot of money out of the pocket of those guys down there to do stuff like that. But it's going to be interesting.
And they had quite a time with that umpiring crew anyway. And we'll kind of talk about that in the third segment. But they had a heck of a time with those folks.
What?
What's that?
I'm sure that came through the mic. I was trying to turn my mic off, but I guess that didn't work.
Yeah, that didn't work.
You turned it off after you yelled at your cat.
Well, he's getting into something. Anyways.
Sure, Troy. That's fine, man. It might be more interesting than the interview with Eric Edelstein, general manager of the team.
Around. Let's see what the cat's
Come on,
doing.
Man. Let's go scold that cat. Bad kitty, bad.
You know, I just moved into a new apartment, so we got crap everywhere. And he's
cat
a
crap
he's
or just crap?
Crap. And he's about a year and a half old, and he's just into everything tonight. Every box that's open, he's got to go investigate, and he was going to knock stuff off my table. But back to baseball.
Thank you for listening to the Royal Cat Reports.
Right. At some point, Will Myers is going to AAA.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm going to write something up this week.
Yeah, I would say relatively quickly.
He's ridiculous.
Going.
He is.
Tell me,
he's already hit more homers than he has at any stop in the minor leagues, and it's May 13th.
When you write that article, Mike, figure out who they're going to get rid of, because there is so many outfielders in this organization.
You're right.
Apparently a lot of 4A outfielders. Somebody's got to go away, unless that's their plan, is to bring Myers up and let him play third in Omaha for a while. I mean, I don't even know who plays third in Omaha right now.
I think it's Mario Lison. He might be in Double-A.
So
Lison's in Double-A. He hit a home run yesterday.
Okay. I knew he was in that between kind of spot.
From the chat room, Viral WB, Bubba is still in Arizona. He's not even been promoted to rookie A yet. They're hanging on to him a little while longer. They're taking glove hands with that guy.
Yeah, you'll probably see him in July in short season rookie ball, and he'll play there all year. And then probably next year, half season at low A.
If you follow him,
hopefully.
If you follow him on Twitter at Bubba underscore star 10, he is very young. I mean, he is a kid in a big man's game, and so he definitely needs some conditioning and what have you.
And he's raw. He's not Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper only played baseball and played baseball at, you know, high competition level throughout you know, high school and then junior college. Bubba played 5A Kansas baseball, and, you know, that's my neck of the woods. It's, you know, not the most competitive area. He's got insane skills and tools, but he also played basketball, and he was all-state football in Nebraska. So, you know, he really needs some time to focus solely on baseball. And I think that's what they're doing right now, is kind of getting, you know, those raw tools and adding some fundamental refinements to it.
I will say that this team has a lot of outfielders all the way up and down the system.
Yep.
No matter where you look, there's great outfielders in this system. But I cannot wait. I do not want to see Will Myers at third base. I want to see Will Myers in the outfield, and I want an outfield of Lorenzo Cain, Will Myers, and Alex Gordon, and because that will be freaking amazing. I don't care how you do it. I don't care if you put Will in center or if you put him on one of the sides in one of the corners. But Will,
right,
yeah, he smoked a ball in when I was down in Arkansas earlier this, or I guess last weekend, he smoked a ball out of the park. Then, you know, he caught a great running catch. The guy is a great, great baseball player. I can't wait to see what he does against AAA talent. And then, you know, I'm assuming Omaha makes the playoffs this year once the playoffs are done, getting him up to Kansas City. Let him play every position. I mean, Greg Schwamm linked to where he played literally every position in like, I guess, high school ball or whatever you want to call it, before he got into organized professional baseball. He'd played everything, including pitcher and catcher, of course. Well, catcher, of course, and then he was also a pitcher. So some were joking that maybe it's time for any situation of getting him ready to pitch. But he could play anywhere on the diamond. He's played middle infield. He's played catcher. You know, he's not really ready to be a pro catcher by any means. But yeah, he can play.
He won't be a catcher.
Right. He can play anywhere. So he could be like an ultimate utility guy if nothing else come September. So it'll be interesting to see. But Chris, go ahead and take us out and fire up the Eric Edelstein interview. And we're going to be back live in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, we're going to go out to break. And as such, we are going to have an opportunity to listen to Eric Edelstein. I had quite a chance to talk with him over the weekend, about a 10-minute interview. It's a great interview, I think. So stick around and let us know what you think of it.
Come to Spit Cup this week. We'll let the person who has the highest bar tab ride the bull. We don't have any TVs in our bar, but we make our own entertainment. Mondays, it's free cover charge to anybody with a gun rack in their pickup truck. Tuesdays, we've got $8 beer night. All domestic beers are on special for only $8. It's Spit Cup. Wednesdays is longest tobacco spit. Thursdays is foot fungus night. Friday night is Jamboree night. Bring your crap kick in your 10-gallon hats. And this weekend, you get our world-famous Spit Cup girls. You get to pick which one has the most teeth. It's Spit Cup. Talking to the wall.
Or you could go to Kelly's Westport Inn. The highest quality drinks with the lowest prices. You know what we do. Drinks, friends, plenty of TV showing sports. They've got all the basketball and all the baseball on. Live music on the weekends. The best pizza in Kansas City and fun. Kelly's has the best rooftop patio in town and is voted one of the best places in Kansas City to check out the view, if you know what I mean, and maybe make a new friend. Make the best choice for your evening entertainment, Kelly's Westport Inn. Kelly's is at 500 Westport Road in Kansas City, Missouri. Kelly's Westport Inn. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
How did you get this job? Seems like a sweet gig.
It's a long, sordid tale. I guess I'll try and tell quickly. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. Worked at Jacobs Field all through late high school and into college. I had a bunch of game day jobs there. After college, went to study sport management at Bowling Green State University, or during college, I should say. After college was over, I got an internship in Buffalo, New York with the Buffalo Bisons, AAA team, who are owned by Rich Products Corporation, which is the same company that owns this club here. So I worked for 3 years in Buffalo. I was promoted to Jamestown, New York, which is another one of their teams. I was a general manager there for a year and then was promoted again to Wichita the year after that. And so I went to Wichita in 04 and have been with the Royals AA team since, including moving the team from Wichita here to Northwest Arkansas.
That's got to be an incredible heritage here. I mean, you got to, I assume you worked with guys like Frank White and then also, you know, the Hosmer Moustakas era and all that. What was that like?
Well, it's been every year is a little bit different. It was great. I mean, my first year in AA, I've got Frank White as my manager. And, you know, we had a great relationship. You know, all 3 years I was in Wichita, I had him as our manager. And we got along great. He was fun to be around, listen to stories, you know, just about the way it was and all that was tremendous. And then, you know, when we move here, we get Brian Polberg as our manager now for all 5 years. And, you know, Poley's as good as it gets as a baseball professional. He's just a great guy. And it's been really fun to see the talent come through and not just come through, but come through and do exactly what people wanted it to do and get better and improve and take that next step up. And we're watching it now, that next generation, seeing what Jake Odorizzi and Christian Colon and Will Myers are taking that next step of not just performance, but consistency that everyone's looking for. And it's fun to see them day in and day out just keep getting better.
And before we get into the couple of the players, tell me about your day-to-day responsibility as a general manager of a double-A club. My guess is that it would range significantly.
Well, the first thing I think everyone needs to know about a double-A or a minor league general manager is that we don't make trades. We don't write the lineup. We don't judge the talent on the field. Our jobs and our responsibilities is to make this place as positive as it can be for the development of the players, but for the community at large as well. So my job centers, you know, mostly on outside the lines, making sure the facility is in great shape, making sure we have great crowds out to see the team, make sure that the community embraces the team and that the team embraces the community, and then working with Brian Polberg mostly, but Brian Polberg, Scott Sharp, J.J. Piccolo, the Royals front office, to make sure that both of our needs are being met and we continue to have a good relationship.
Obviously, on the field product is probably as good, if not even maybe a little bit better than in years past. There's a huge buzz about Will Myers back in Kansas City. Christian Colon went 3-for-3 with three outstanding plays last night, and Jake Odorizzi, you know, only gave up two runs in 7 innings of work. That's got to be fun to come out to the ballpark and watch every night.
No, that's part of the fun of it, is seeing who's going to step up on any given night. And when the same guys are stepping up night over night, you know you got something. And you're seeing that with Colon and Myers. You know, Myers has been hot from the start. Colon's been pretty remarkable in that he wasn't hot from the start. He actually had a really rough first few weeks, and you wouldn't know it by looking at his numbers right now. He's really turned it on. You know, he said he came into town this year 12 pounds lighter. Will Myers was 12 pounds heavier, all in the right places. So both those guys came into this season in a different level of shape than they were, and you can see it night in, night out.
Tell me a little bit about the ballpark. You know, for folks from Kansas City maybe planning a quick little summer vacation, what you know, that you got video boards. They took me through the AV room that looks like something out of the space shuttle. What are some of the favorite parts of Arvis Ballpark for you?
Well, I think the most important thing for fans in Kansas City to know is that it's only about a 3-hour drive. So I think the fact that it's in Arkansas sometimes worries people as they don't know where it is, but we're up in the northwest corner. So it's a really close drive. It's only in our fifth year, but we have a great video board. We really pride ourselves on putting on a good show every single night. A lot of music, a lot of games, a lot of entertainment. We take great pride in our food. If you haven't tried the Funnel Dog is—it's gained a lot of national press from the Funnel Dog. New York Daily News just had it listed as one of the top 15 foods in minor league baseball. Our barbecue nachos also are as good as you'll get anywhere in this country. So it's a great experience. We've got the widest seats, the most leg room you're ever going to see in any professional stadium. It's all about the fans. Everything was built with the comfort of the fans in mind, and a great place to watch a game. And so you know, we invite everyone from Kansas City to come down and see the future down here.
A couple of urban legends. Well, actually, before that, let me ask you what your initial thought was when you saw the ejection last night.
It was one of the more colorful ejections that we've seen at the ballpark, you never know exactly where any ejection is going to go. These guys do see a lot of each other, so they're usually very careful, and they generally do understand that you know, an ejection is an in the spur of the moment thing, and it doesn't go long term. So it was very colorful, and I know that. You know, that Mike was extremely remorseful that it came across the way it did today. And, you know, and I feel for him because he lost his head in the moment, and that's just not who he is. But those things do happen.
Now, finally, and we had a blast here last night. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. It's what, Star Wars night and George Brett bobblehead night. So you guys are cramming promotions on top of each other. That's got to be fun for all the, and you guys do stuff in between innings and all kinds of stuff.
It's all about trying to, I like to say that we are live action dinner theater here at Arvis Ballpark. From the moment you walk in to the moment you leave, everything's scripted except the game. And that's kind of the beauty of it, is that you don't, you know, if you've seen a play, you've seen it 100 times. Well, every game is going to be different, so you have to keep coming to see the next one. And but all the between innings is all planned out. We try to put as much entertainment into a game as we can, and you don't always set out to do what we do tonight, but George Brett bobblehead fell on tonight, and then the opportunity to bring in a troop of Star Wars live reenactors came on, and we just weren't going to pass that up. And my only question was, is Darth coming? And when they said yes, there will be a Vader, then all right, I was in. We're going to do Star Wars night.
I asked the guys. I said, so who's putting on the Chewbacca costume? They all said you were. Is that correct? Or
you never know where you might find me in a given night, so you got to be careful.
All right, final question. There is an urban legend here that that David Glass spends more time at Arvis Ballpark than he does at Kauffman. Is there any truth to that, or how often do you actually see the Glass family down here?
I don't think that's true at all. In fact, I know that Mr. Glass generally is in Kansas City during Royals homestands, and so we typically don't see him when we're playing at the same time. But we do see him from time to time. He does have a suite here at the ballpark. He's extremely supportive. And we're really very lucky. Most AA teams don't have a relationship with their major league affiliate owner. And so we're very appreciative of what Mr. Glass has done for us and been a friend and a supporter. And, I'm very proud to know him. And there's a good chance this ballpark isn't here without the support of Mr. Glass.
So the waffle dog, says this is what I need to, or the
funnel dog.
Okay. All right. We will have two funnel dogs between me and the boy who is probably out taking batting practice right now. But thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Glad to have you here. We're glad to have you here. Here.
Welcome back to the Royal Man Report. My name is Chris Campbell. That was an interview with Eric Edelstein. I will fix the title slide that said it was Alan Yeager, and that was incorrect. But we are now joined also by someone breathing heavily. Hang on, let me turn that music off. God bless. This is as complicated as our show is on a normal week. It's even more complicated when we have all these guys lined up on the Google Hangout. So what you're looking at now is a Google Hangout with Troy Olsen, Michael Engel, and we are also now joined by Jeff Herr. Hello, fellas. What are you doing there, fella? What are you doing there, pal?
What is this Flintstones baseball?
They get these out at Naturals games. It has Jake Odorizzi and somebody else on it.
Somebody else. Can I get your autograph? Somebody
like
else?
Actual signatures?
Yeah, they have a little booth every day, and they announce over the intercom after the gates open. They're like, "Hey, come up to our Flintstones booth and get autographs from so and so and so and so." And that day it was Jake Odorizzi, and Chris is digging around for his right now, I think, because he's got one as well. I'm sure.
Yeah, we got Chris Dwyer, who had thrown a no hitter the night before.
No-hitter.
That was pretty cool. But I can't for the life of me find the baseball. It was and they'll give you the baseball. That's the cool thing. That's what I
had. You don't
not
pay for anything.
No, you don't pay for the and if you have a poster or something you want them to sign, they'll sign that too. But that was super cool. I had such a good time down there. Every Mother's Day weekend the boy and I just leave. We just get up and leave, and that's the gift to mom. We just leave her the hell alone. So we left on Friday afternoon and just got back a couple hours ago. We went to two Naturals games. The stadium's just terribly impressive. It's I'm not going to do photo slide time, but that's the funnel dog that they told us to look at. That it looks disgusting, but it was damn tasty.
I didn't have the guts to have one. They were pretty pricey, and I didn't want to pay for
three,
it. So.
$3.50.
A hot dog wrapped in funnel cake.
Dog wrapped in funnel cake, and I did
Good
not.
Lord.
I did not take Eric's. I didn't take Eric's advice and dip it in a little bit of mustard, but I will do that next time.
No amount of money is too much for that concoction, sir.
It was pretty awesome. The stadium reminds me a lot of Community America, where the T-Bones play. It has that kind of same look and feel. It's nicer, I would say. That's a picture of Star Wars night. They had Darth Vader throw out the first pitch, and there were some fairly heavy set stormtroopers that were at the game. This is the funnel cake line, but it is just a very traditional new age ballpark. It's certainly not a lot of those guys that work in the front office there. They come from the Durham Bulls. Several of them had Durham Bulls on their business cards, and You know, those folks are famous, obviously, from the movie Bull Durham, but those folks are famous for their in-game entertainment and all that stuff. And they had the dizzy bat race and stuff like that. But it's just very clean. That whole area down there is nuts. I mean, it's really crazy how clean that area is, built up around this Walmart Central in Springdale there. And it's four cities all about the size of Overland Park. It's kind of like if you plunked four Overland Parks right together without a Kansas City around them. That's kind of what Northwest Arkansas is. It's really only 45 minutes south of Joplin. It is right on the Missouri-Arkansas border is what Eric was talking about. And I had a hell of a time down there.
And Mike and Jeff, have you ever been to the stadium down there?
No,
I haven't.
It's a must go. Like Chris said, it's a 3 to 4 hour drive. It's absolutely must see. Amazing stadium. I may have to get up and open the door here.
Are you ordering pizza?
No, I'll be right back.
What the hell's wrong with you, man? God bless.
He gets a radio show and starts thinking he can do whatever the hell he wants.
I've had dinner called in.
Well, anyway. Hold on.
So we're getting
a massage now.
So we went down there, spent Friday night down there, and during Friday night's game there was an ejection they were playing the Springfield Cardinals, and there was an ejection, and I'm an umpire, so I kind of noticed that he was getting a lot of flack from the Cardinals dugout the two innings before. And I figure, well, if this guy, you know, if anything else happens, he's going to get in a lot of trouble. So he ended up getting tossed, and I videotaped it. And this is what it looked like. I'm going to see if this works. If not, I'll do it some other way. But hang on, let me search for it real quick. You guys keep talking.
While you're doing that, let me. Now I had to help get the girlfriend in the house. What I wanted to say was, when you go to drive to the stadium, you drive through like this housing development. It's completely like houses on all sides of it, and you just drive right down, and all these houses have a little bit of acreage to them. And I told Megan, my girlfriend, I said, I think I have found my dream house. I said, literally, you could have one of these houses. She could have her horses like she wants, and I could literally be within walking distance of a stadium. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's all developed except for right around the stadium. So it's kind of like where the Speedway was before all that other crap went around it. It was just kind of farmland. You drive and drive and drive. If you come back in five more years, that'll all be, you know, Quick Trips and shit like that. But anyway, so I whipped out the camera and I watched this. I watched this ejection unfold. And this is
Chris, because I can't.
I lost Chris.
Anyway, this is Eric. This is Mike Schilt getting ejected. This is after he got ejected. This is my kid screaming in the background on the video. But I want you to watch here in about 20 seconds as he's walking away, and he's really giving it to him. I mean, he's really getting his money's worth. He's already been tossed as he's walking away, just kind of watch what happens. It comes up here in about 20 seconds.
This is awesome!
The best part of this video is my kid just heckling the shit out of this guy.
Heckling the shit out of this guy.
Okay, so here it comes.
He's going to be just like you.
Yeah.
And it was at that point in time when he tossed his helmet and plunked the umpire that we all had a pretty good laugh. Now let me ask you guys on the Google Hangout, what did you guys think of that? What did you feel his level of intent was with all of that?
I mean, I would say he was frustrated. You see it in baseball all the time, crazy stuff. And he was obviously frustrated. He obviously didn't intend to do it. You could tell his, like you said, his last name was like Schilt or something. You said he had an Aw Schilt moment. And I think that's the best way to put it. The guy obviously didn't mean to do it. He obviously felt bad. He went back. He apologized to the umpire. And the umpire, I think you said, maybe you haven't said this already, Chris, but you told us that the umpire knew that the manager had made a mistake, and he really didn't hold it against him.
Yeah, Mike, what do you think?
To me. Yeah, I mean, you look at the way he kind of throws it. He just kind of flings it out there. And, you know, it's like you would do if you're messing with, I don't know, you have something in your hands, you're frustrated, and you just toss it, you just give it away. So, and, you know, if he threw that helmet the same way 10 times, that's the one time it probably actually hits the guy. So,
yeah.
If he lets go of it a second earlier, he completely misses it. Jeff, what was your take on that?
I mean, I'm with you guys. When it comes to looking at intent on that, he most definitely was not intending to hit that umpire. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've thrown. I mean, if you go to a Chiefs game with me, you'll notice that hat throwing is not unusual. So intent-wise, I don't think he absolutely did not try and hit the umpire. That said, I still don't think it was a smart move on
well,
his part.
So, and that was my, that was, you know, I think that was everybody's, you know, obvious opinion. So I, from my seat, you can do this now from your iPhone. You just upload it right to YouTube. Right. And so I did that. It's not my fault. I have a Twitter account with 4,500 followers that I just happened to tweet it out to. I thought it was kind of a funny video. So, as I'm going to sleep, as we make it back to the hotel that night, as I wake up in the morning, we woke up about 8:30, and I'm eating breakfast, and there's an email there from the front office of the Springfield Cardinals saying that they'd like to have a chat. So we went down to the park, and I was met there by a very contrite, extremely morose Mike Schilt. And we had a private conversation in which the idea was that they really wanted me to take the video down, and then I got an interview with Mike here in a second. I'll play for you, but I ended up not taking the video down. And in case this gets out along the same way as the other video got out, it's just, I mean, that's not the way social media works. By the time that you guys, the Cardinals had contacted me, it had already been viewed 500 times and was as viral as it was going to get, short of if, mm-hmm. you know, it gets picked up by SportsCenter or something, which I don't think it's in that caliber. Yeah. Well, anyway, he was extremely upset to hear that. And, you know, he felt that it was going to, you know, chase his career and whatever. So anyway, I did get an opportunity to have an interview with him, which I'll play. It's only about 3 minutes, but check this out and see what you think.
Kind of walk me through what happened in the fifth inning last night.
Well, you know, it was a competitive game. Obviously, we're going back and forth, and you know, I took exception with some of the balls and strikes, as we both know in baseball, that's something that is not allowed, rightfully so. And you know, I said a few things out of the dugout, and you know, next thing I knew, I was ejected. And so, you know, it's typical. You go out and you feel like you got to defend your guys a little bit. And you know, the plate guy, he's working hard and he's doing the best he can. So, you know, I take full responsibility for, you know, my actions. And, you know, I made my points, and that was about it.
When you flung your helmet at the field, and it was, you know, relatively obvious that it was not at the first base umpire. What immediately ran through your head when that happened?
Well, yeah, it was completely unintentional. You know, I'd walked off the field, I'd said my piece, and at that point, I just I made a poor decision in the fact that you know, I just want to flip the helmet back, and there was no benefit to doing that. Like I said, it was a poor decision. I had no idea that that anybody was close by, much less the umpire, Matt. And when I got a reaction from the crowd, I realized, and as I turned, I realized that I had, you know, inadvertently, you know, the helmet had glanced him. And, you know, it was a light toss, but irregardless, it doesn't matter the velocity. It was, you know, the fact was, you know, he was he was hit by it, and I immediately apologized to it. And he immediately said, you know, I know you didn't mean to do it, and I accept your apology. Don't think twice about it. And I told him a couple times, look, I'm so sorry. I didn't even realize you were, you know, that was completely not in my intent. And I apologized profusely. And again, he said, you know, I recognize that to be a, you know, something that was completely accidental. And you know, he said, don't think twice about it.
For folks who may not know your story, you know, you haven't been a major leaguer, but here you are, a manager of a Double A Springfield Cardinals. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your rise up through the Cardinals ranks and what this position means to you.
It means a lot. You know, I was hired in this organization 9 years ago, and this organization's been very, very good to me. I believe in the Cardinal organization completely. I've always respected any organization I've worked for, but I've always been appreciative of the opportunities I've been given here. And like anything, you want to show your appreciation rather than you know, say it. And obviously I'm saying it now, but you know, I've always been very prideful of the Cardinal organization and what it represents and class and dignity. And I've done that, you know, my entire career in this organization, and worked extremely hard and taken advantage of the opportunities I've been given. And like I said, I'm very appreciative of all the opportunities I've had, and you know, that's why, you know, last night was something I'm not proud of, although you know, incidental and you know, by pure accident, still not a positive reflection and something that you know, but I'm proud to be a Cardinal.
Thanks for your time.
So that happened. That was just a weird series of events. You go down to a ball game, and then you find yourself interviewing the manager of the opposing team. So, but the funnel dog was good.
And the only thing that fun that happened for me is, well, right after I got done talking with Eric, a kid tapped me on the shoulder and he goes, "Do you want to be part of the Daisy Target game today?" And I said, "Sure, why not?" And I was dressed in normal clothes, Royals clothes, whatever, and I go out and I shoot this target, and I had to beat the mascot, whatever his name is, Smash or Strike, I guess his name is. And so I beat Strike, and Daisy's supposed to call me, but Daisy makes BB guns. So apparently I have won a BB gun from the Northwest Arkansas folks.
Just the person I want armed.
Yeah, that's great.
So, question, since you two had been to the Naturals games, what level of like Royals fandom do you see there? A lot of people wearing Royals shirts, or they only really care about the Naturals? Like, how does that work?
I was going to say, for me, it was weird because we literally saw a guy at a table that had a Royals shirt on and one that had a Cardinal shirt on. They were both rooting for the Naturals.
Hang on.
They weren't playing for Springfield at the time.
I'm just going to have to stop you right there. What the hell are you wearing on your head?
On Google Hangouts,
what
they've got little Google effects.
Bloody hell is that?
They've got little Google effects, and you can pick out a crown. And I put
and
a
you
crown
picked
on.
A crown. Well, of course you picked a crown.
Of course.
Anyway, I'm not doing
you're
it.
Not watching live. We're having too much fun.
Here. Jeff, to answer your question, there were a lot of Arkansas folks. In fact, they had. Oh, look at that! You guys. SEC baseball was going on. Arkansas was having a big series at that point in time with, I want to say, Auburn. And there were probably just as many Arkansas shirts as I saw Royals shirts. But you guys are killing me.
Auburn's face.
Just ground the thing to a halt.
You have to see the YouTube if you're just listening on Stitcher or whatever.
Look what you saw. Look what you started, Troy.
Hey, I just wanted to put my – I didn't have my Royal Man crown, and I just wanted to put one on, so –
That's funny.
So anyway,
what was the question?
Over now. It's over.
I win a BB gun. Chris gets to interview the entire teams on both sides. It seems like that's pretty much your experience in Arkansas, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah, I mean those guys were extremely nice on both sides of the team. The one of the guys who runs the video effects board also is the guy that updates their Twitter and. He's seen me on Twitter, so he took me through the video effects room and all the way through. I met Steven Davis. Steven Davis is pretty cool, we had a nice little tour of the facility, and they were more than hospitable. And I very much would would encourage any Royals fan to go down there. It's really only a day trip. Go down there, stay a night, and come back. And it was a hell of a lot of fun.
Chris, aren't you going to Omaha? Is it next weekend?
That's right. Next weekend, I'm going to Omaha. This all is part of a series of stories I'd like to do for the Platte County Landmark that I write for, and basically about just that, day trips or one tank trips to go see baseball. So I think I'll probably also talk about maybe the St. Joe Mustangs, something along those lines. But with Werner Park being brand new and Arvest Park being only a few years old, there's two outstanding opportunities to go see baseball in a very, very new environment, very clean environment. I would think if you went out to, I don't know what type of stadium Kane County plays in, but I would think it's somewhat older. And, if you go to Phil Welsh Stadium where the St. Joe Mustangs play, that may be a little bit more challenging of an environment. There's not bouncy houses and stuff along those lines. So, but it had a hell of a time there, and I'm looking forward to Omaha. I'm going to try not to stir up as much trouble up in Omaha.
Good luck.
I'm going to try. First it's the folks at 810, then it's the folks with the Cardinals. Who are you going to get in Omaha, man? The list keeps going.
I don't know. So, I made it through the media football game without killing anybody, so that was pretty cool too.
There you go. And we do have some video from that too that I believe is up at ramblingmorons.com, right?
Yeah, that's right. Nick Wright, Nick Wright and I had a little bit of fun. Put a little bounty on me. Did a little
13 American dollars.
13 U.S. dollars, right there, baby. That's he's got a lot more. I should have done it right after he announced his move to Houston, so I could have made some extra money.
But as we go out to break here, and then we're going to come back and wrap things up here and talk a little bit about the Chiefs and some other things. But as we're going out, I did have a bit of feedback that I forgot to bring up that we got on the vault. I don't remember if this was James. It might have been Jamie that said this. Might have been somebody else. But somebody, a longtime listener, had said, he goes, I loved you guys in the vault. He goes, the best part, though, was having Chris read. Do the live read of the old folks home.
The live read?
He goes, he's come a long ways from doing the Kelly's commercials to doing live reads for old folks home. And don't get me wrong, I love all the vault sponsors. They're helping Jeff to make this a reality for us. So I take nothing away from the sponsors of that program. But yes, having Chris do a live read on an old folks home was the highlight.
Here's the deal, and if you haven't listened to our first vault show, go ahead and go to royalmanreport.com because it's up there. But the part of the so we had Clint Robinson from the Storm Chasers on the phone, and I had been having problems with that phone all day because he said push the button, and you push the button and it didn't really bring him up. You had to like push and hold the button anyway. So I had a kick-ass segue. It was like, if you're an old person and you need help, whatever, one guy who doesn't need old person services is Clint Robinson of the Storm Chasers. And then I effed up the button push, so it sounded like crap. But I was all slick. I was ready for that.
The other hilarious thing was we had a couple different guests lined up for that show. The old-timer guest had fallen through. It was a Hall of Famer. We won't tell you who, but it fell through. That's how we ended up with who we had. And then it was great. We had a couple different guests lined up for the second half of the show, but Chris and I had miscommunicated and crossed over. Well, Chris, in the meanwhile, had gotten a hold of the Omaha PR department, and they were going to send him somebody. We didn't know who, but it was going to be somebody. So
we
that's
didn't
how
until that break.
So we introduced it that way throughout the show, and we're gonna have somebody on from the Omaha Storm Chasers. And so we're coming back to break, and I'm like, so who do we got? And everybody looks at me and goes, Clint Robinson. Oh, all right.
Okay. The cool thing about it, and this is why I'm impressed with how smart you three are, and I'm just a knucklehead that can't push a goddamn button on a phone. But immediately Shane pokes his head in the studio and says, "Yeah, Clint Robinson's on line one," and we came back from break, and it was just, okay, well, we're back, and here's Clint Robinson. And you guys, Mike especially, you nailed that interview. I think it was a great interview. You guys actually asked him a couple of tough questions. What's it like to be stuck behind Hosmer and Butler? And you know, he answered in kind of baseball guy terms, but I think it was a very, very good interview, and I was very impressed at the way you guys handled that, because you literally had about 35 seconds to prepare for that.
I had just enough time to pull his stats up on Baseball Reference, and that's about it.
But I get the impression that if it was anybody, you would have been able to do the same deal. So
Ethan Hollingsworth would have been a tough one.
fun note about our first guest, Mike Hershberger. My dad listened to the show. I asked him. I said, "Did you know who that guy was? Did you remember him?" And he was like, "Oh yeah." He goes, "I had his baseball card."
Nice.
So that was pretty cool. My dad had his baseball card.
You know, and the funny thing about the C-Rob deal was he had agreed to come on the Royal Man Report, and we had been trying to get him on, but, you know, really, honestly, we have to be picky with our guests, because we have some shows like this where we're not capable of having a guest because of the logistical issues.
I'm shocked you guys are on right now, actually.
Right, and we've had a lot of shows where we've had great guests, and I'm not saying C-Rob isn't a great guest because he was an awesome guest, but I had him on I-70 Baseball when I used to do that with Bill Ivey, and by the way, Monday nights, 9 p.m., i70baseball.com, they do a Royals Cardinals show. It's really good. It's a blog talk show, so you've got the whole phone line thing to deal with, but yeah. Overall, it's a pretty good show. He still does it with Royals Kool-Aid now. But regardless, back to where I was going with that, C-Rob, I knew how he was going to answer the questions. So I had one question, and you guys know me. I hate wordy questions. I try really, really hard not to be wordy with my questions. And so I have this one question. I wanted to not have him answer it in specific ways. So I asked a question, taking out every answer I didn't want as part of the question. So if you go back and download the vault, you'll hear me ask a question that's about 45 seconds or so long, and it's me trying to get to the answer I wanted, and I still didn't really get it. I still pretty much got a baseball answer. So kudos to Clint Robinson for not falling sucker to the Royal Man and being able to battle right through with that. So it was good, though. The show was good. And, Chris, kudos to you on your live read of Old Folks Homes. And, as always, kudos to you for the Kelly's commercials. So let's go ahead and take a break, and let's come back and talk a little Chiefs and some other things that are going on for the Royal Man Report and get the heck out of here because we all want to go to bed.
What are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to grab a beer somewhere. What do you have in mind?
I heard about this awesome new bar downtown. It's called Rage. The waitresses have a contest to see who has the most piercing.
Oh, man, that's not really my scene.
Well, there's another bar close by called Spit Cup. Check it out. The bartenders wear chaps, and every hour they shoot a guy.
No, seriously, I just want a bar where I can sit down and watch the game.
Okay, I've got just the place. It's called Lilac. You sit on pillows, and you drink from eucalyptus leaves.
No, Ned, but I just want a place where I can get a cheap drink and watch the football game.
Okay, I got it. This place, it's got a TV. It's called 816.
Limagitosis.
Yep. All their drinks come in NBA hats.
Man, I just want a place like Kelly's.
Oh, you mean Kelly's Westport Inn? No, they've got all the basketball and bowl game. They've even got a heated roof. The view is really nice, too, if you know what I'm saying. Why didn't you just say you wanted to go to Kelly's?
Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road. Make it your place to go any time of the week. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
People will come, Royal Man. They'll come to the Royal Man Report for reasons they can't even fathom. They'll show up via a Google search, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at our podcast as innocent as children, longing for audio. Of course we don't mind if you have a listen, you'll say. It's a free download on Stitcher Radio or iTunes or on Kings of Kaufman. They'll click the link without even thinking about it, for it is time they have and baseball discussion they lack. And they'll sit in their chair, sit at their desk on a perfect afternoon. They'll find they have a download all queued up and ready where they listened last week and cheered for their favorite segments. And they'll listen to the show, and it'll be as if they dipped themselves in magic waters. The insight will be so thick they'll have to brush it away from their faces. People will come, Royal Man. The one constant through all the months, Royal Man, has been baseball and the Royal Man Report. Kansas City has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It has been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt, and erased again. But the Royal Man Report has marked the time. This podcast, these listeners, It's a part of our past, Royal Man. It reminds us of all that was once good and could be again. All people will come, Royal Man. People will most definitely come.
Welcome back to the Royal Man Report. My name's Chris Kamler.
So, hey, guys. We got a couple of things coming up here. Let's start off. Let's talk about the Chiefs draft a little bit. Jeff, you want to jump in here and talk a little Chiefs for us, would you?
Yeah. I wrote about this. I wasn't a huge fan of the Chiefs draft. They had Dontari Poe was the first-round pick. It fills a need. Theoretically, for the Chiefs, being nose tackle, which is something of huge need for the Chiefs. But the things you hear about Dontari Poe were not all that great. He's things like he's a project. He can't stay on the field. He wasn't a three down player. He didn't dominate in a suspect conference with lesser competition. Things that if I'm a GM, I don't like to hear when I'm drafting a player number 11 overall. So I would have rather they not went that route with the first pick, especially because there were decent enough nose tackles available in the next couple rounds. The rest of the draft, I like a little bit more now. Now thinking about,
I lost Jeff. Did everybody else lose Jeff?
I lost him.
Okay. Well, Jeff, we can't hear you. So if you can hear us, you,
tackle.
Oh, there we go. He's back.
Am I on here? Can you still hear
you're
me?
Back.
You're back. Go ahead, keep going.
What was the last thing you heard?
Start from the beginning.
We heard Dontari Poe sucks, and then what you liked about the rest of it.
That's it. Okay, so I was just talking to myself for 2 minutes.
Just kind of wrap it down. Is it? How would you grade? Everybody hates draft grades, but how would you grade this draft for the Chiefs? Is this a one-year? Draft, or is this a draft that we're going to see results from in 2 to 3 years?
It's actually a draft that we'll see results from in 2 to 3 years, probably not. I'm guessing not much this year, and that's why if I gave it a grade, I'd probably say about a C+. Filled some positions of need, added some quality depth, which is definitely something that they need. But you're not going to get an impact player this year, and I don't know that you're going to get an impact player even 2-3 years down the road. But you are going to have a lot of players that are going to be contributors and hopefully solid contributors. So it wasn't a terrible draft, but Pioli didn't knock it out of the park like he did 2 years ago in 2010, and probably wasn't even as good as last year's was, because last year's was actually pretty good too. So.
And we're going to go back to baseball here in just a couple minutes, but staying with the Chiefs for a second. Jeff, we did hear some reports that the offensive line is a top five offensive line. From what you've seen limitedly, do you feel that that's possible? Because if that's the case, you've got two of the best running backs in football behind that line and a quarterback that has shown that he can have a 10-6 record if he has time to work, and he's got decent receivers. He's got two of the best running backs in the game. Is there a top five line there, and could this offense be for real?
Top five, I don't know if I'd go that far. I guess I can see where I think it was Pro Football Talk that had that article. Maybe it was Pro Football Focus, but either way, I think the line's actually underrated. I'd say it's top 10 definitely and could be top five, but there are still some unknowns that we don't know about, whether Rodney Hudson, is he going to be as good as Casey Wegman? You know, I think he can be, but will he be this year? I don't know. Eric Winston's obviously a huge upgrade. And Brandon Albert kind of has a little bit of Billy Butler syndrome as far as how the fans look at him with the Chiefs, because every year you hear Brandon Albert, we're going to draft a tackle. He's switching positions. He needs to. He stinks. He's not a good left tackle. He should be a right tackle or a left guard. I mean, if you talk to people in the league and you read a lot of stuff, I mean, he has a lot of respect as a left tackle around the league. He is a top half of the league, maybe even top third of the league left tackle. A lot better than people give him credit for. The ceiling for this offensive line is top five. I don't know if they'll get there this year, but I do think they can. If they do, they're going to have Jamaal Charles and Peyton Hillis behind that line, like you said, Troy. That's going to be solid. You know, I don't know that Jamaal Charles is going to be back 100%, but even if he's 85%, he's still going to be a 1,000-yard rusher, and Peyton Hillis can probably get you another 600 to 800 yards behind that. So, and, you know, Matt Castle with a solid offensive line, he's not going to be a top quarterback in the league, but he can produce enough to win some games. So I think next year the Chiefs, maybe not the favorite to win the division because Peyton Manning's in Denver now, but I definitely think that they're the next best contender behind the Broncos.
You know, and the thing is, don't worry about Jamaal Charles getting his touches for people that were worried that he's going to get moved to like a number two back or whatever. All Hillis is going to do is what Thomas Jones was supposed to do, and that's beat down that offensive line, and then you're going to have Charles just breaking through for those 20, 30-yard gains. Hillis will get the close touchdowns, but Charles will get his. It's no doubt in my mind. If this team gets hot, it's going to happen. A couple of things that are coming up here for the Royal Man Report family. On Friday, our good friend Will, who people know on Twitter as He Ain't Really, or the hashtag guy, it's his birthday. He's coming back to Kansas City from Dallas, and he's going to celebrate that down at the Westport Flea Market, not a sponsor, but still a good place. They're going to do some karaoke on Saturday night. So go join those guys on Saturday night at the Westport Flea Market. Sunday, if you're not listening to the show live, come out to Riverside, to the River Roll out in Riverside, and see some roller derby. It's the next Dead Girl event. And during that bout, I am actually legally marrying two people. Neither one to me, thankfully, but marrying two of the derby folks. And I'm an ordained minister in order to do so. So I will be doing a legal wedding at halftime. And then, of course, we'll have the Royal Man Report on live from Chris's basement at 7 p.m. that night as well. And
I'm not marrying anyone, am I?
No, you're not.
All right, thank you.
Kelly's and McCoy are very excited to celebrate their anniversaries on the same day. Kelly's and McCoy's Two Bars in Westport, Sunday, May 27th. Gates open at 5 p.m. It's Kelly's 65th anniversary and McCoy's 15th. And they're going to have live music by Jeff Jenkins and the Lost Wax. And McCoy's and Boulevard Beer are doing tastings, which I think it's cool that Boulevard's going to be part of this since McCoy's in a way is a competitor of theirs. But, yeah, they're coming down, showing that Kansas City, you know, United Kansas City front and coming down and helping out with this. There's going to be Jameson testings. Fidel's in Westport is coming down there bringing some Zakar cigars. And it's a $5 cover, but it's well worth it. And depending on how Chris's schedule works out, nothing official yet, we may try to do the show 2 weeks from now from at Kelly's. It's going to be – if we do it, we're going to try to do it earlier if we can to get out of the way. We'll probably be upstairs in Kelly's that night if you come looking for us. The events will be going on actually out in Westport. But definitely check that out. You know, Kelly's has been good to us. Without them, we wouldn't have made it this long. And so we're all about supporting them. But
what time are you thinking that's going to happen, Troy?
Well, their gates open at 5. You said you have to umpire till 4. So any time that you can get there, Chris, it's kind of up to you because you've got the equipment. So we can do – I'm going to try to get there before 5, depending on what my schedule looks like that day. But my plan is to get there before 5. I hope everybody else shows up early. If you get there early, I may be able to talk them into letting you stay for free and avoid the $5 cover if you're worried about that. But just try to get there before 5 if you're worried about that.
Yeah, we'll pencil in. We'll do something that night for sure no matter what.
So, yeah, definitely check it out. But, you know, there's definitely – this team's definitely going to have to go out and get pitching in some sort. What we have, you know, like we talked about earlier, to wrap it around, there's not enough. And if it's picking up somebody from AAA, like I guess we just signed Doug Davis. The Royals signed Doug Davis to AAA. True. That's going to probably be an option. You know, He Ain't Really wants us to go back and get Jeff Francis. I like Francis. He didn't have a bad year last year. He had no run support in his starts. He had an ERA of about 4.5, which fits with this team. He's at AAA. Maybe you could get him cheap from the Reds. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of teams that need closers right now. We have a lot of excess bullpen. Maybe you can trade some sort of bullpen for a 4 or 5 starter to kind of get you through. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing Jonathan Broxton go for a 4 starter to the Yankees or to the Nationals or somebody like that.
Well, wouldn't that be a classic Royals move too, though? Let Jeff Francis go and not sign him, and then not even
have to trade.
And we trade away one of our prospects to get him back.
It absolutely would be.
I mean, if there's anything
that throw a crappy catcher too.
If there's anything that describes Dayton Moore's tenure to a T, I think that move would be it.
Well, I mean, he gets crazy and goes out and signs a catcher that was probably going to show up on waivers, and there was better catchers on waivers after the fact.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just he overreacts to those some positions, but let starting pitching just be a mess for 5 years now and nothing. I don't understand the man. I like Dayton Moore. I like what he's preaching. You know, I'm not in the Scobie bandwagon that Dayton Moore is an awful GM. It is what it is, and I think that he could do better on that aspect.
His problem, and we've kind of talked about it on the show, His problem is that he puts all his faith in the Royals' developmental system to develop these pitchers that he thinks are going to come up and be the difference makers, and there is no development in the Royals' organization as far as pitchers are concerned. They cannot develop pitchers, so he has faith in something that doesn't exist.
And I got one more thing, and then I'm going to let us wrap around here and see if any of you guys have anything else. But we are at about 90 minutes right now, and because like 90-minute show, of course it goes 90 minutes because that's how we roll.
That's
the Royal Man Report. I can't believe we can get our Thursday show in an hour without any trouble. Funny thing was, we got to about 45 minutes on that, and I think we kind of had a moment where we had to figure out what we were going to talk about because we had it so cut down that that we got done too early. But coming up, and I can't find the date. Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. 28th. This is a little down the way. We got two events coming up down the way that I just want you to put in the back of your mind. June 28th, there's going to be Negro League Gold Gloves handed out. Of course, they're going to be done at the Negro League Museum. Those are being sponsored by Rawlings, just like the regular Gold Gloves. We're working with Bob Hendrick of the Negro League Museum to have the Royal Man Report out there to cover it live. So we're going to try to stream that for you. I'm sure it'll be also on the news and other mainstream terrestrial sources. But we're going to try to get out there. It's, again, this is going to be up to if Chris can work out the logistics of it with his system. But we hope to record and hold audio and visual of this. It's really awesome that Rawlings is going to go back and award Golden Gloves to the Negro League players that deserve them through the years that didn't make it in the pros. So I'm real excited to be part of that. And then, of course, also out of the Negro League Museum, we're teaming with Baseball Prospectus the Sunday of All-Star Week before the games. It's going to be from about 9 to noon, I think, is what they're shooting for. But you can check out baseballprospectus.com. They got the details on there. Just look for their stadium tours. They're going to do – we're part of the table up at the front. So you're going to have Kevin Goldstein – you know, Mr. Hamrahi, Kevin Goldstein, Jason Parks, Craig Brown of Royals Authority, and then us Yahoos. So it's going to be quite the table when you think about it. But
that will be my pose when we're up there.
Just with your thumbs up and not say, you know, I'm pretty sure we're not going to get any questions directed to us. So
probably
that's going to be
that's the best kind.
That is that's all the housekeeping, you could say, that I needed to take care of for things that are coming up. So definitely put those on your calendar and coming up. But Mike, did you have anything else to add from this week in Royals baseball?
Let's see. Jason Bourgeois, part of that trade with Humberto Quintero, has a 472 OPS in AAA Omaha. Fantastic. The player that the Royals traded away, Kevin Chapman, is striking out 12.2 batters per nine innings with a 1.59 ERA. So well done, Dayton Moore. Thank you. That's all I got.
Jeff, any closing thoughts from you?
Against all odds, the Royals have pulled off some wins here. So, I mean, if they just keep chipping away, who knows? I might not have to spend $100 towards Bishop O'Sullivan's charity.
Yeah, see how that goes.
I highly doubt that's going to happen.
Kamler, any closing thoughts from you?
I did something else this weekend that I would recommend everybody who ever has a kid to do. I taught my kid how to keep score at a ball game. It was awesome. He got to actually look at it, and we did it for two games. He says, "Oh, Christian Colon has been 2-for-2 so far," and he goes 3-for-3. And it just talked to a couple of people out at the stadium out there, and they said it's a dying art. So teach your kids. And if you don't know yourself how to keep score, learn to keep score.
My girlfriend last year. I thought it was fun.
There you go. It's what helps things out. So,
you know, and that's I saw somebody mention Jeff Suppan. He's actually pitching for the Padres. We had him too, and couldn't find a place for him last year. And this year we're just bleeding starting pitching, and Jeff Suppan's down in San Diego actually being good, and we're stuck with.
I'm about 15 seconds into the music, Troy.
Alrighty, so let's go ahead and get out of here. I'm Casey Royalman.
I'm Michael Engel.
I'm Jeff Herr.
And I am shocked that this went off with as many hitches as it did. But thanks for joining the Royal Man Report. We will be back next Thursday on the Kansas City Baseball Vault, and next Sunday right here at RoyalManReport.com. Troy?